The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the program Afternoons with Mike, heard every day here on the Shepherd Radio Network. So excited today to have Kelly McMurray. She's the development manager at Choices. And boy, that's an organization I really love. I'm very privileged to just about be ready to begin my board membership. I will join them next week for the first time as a board member. So I'm particularly interested in your being here today. And it's really great you're here not only to talk about Choices in general, but an event coming up in February. So welcome, Kelly.
Thank you so much, Mike, for having me. I'm so honored to be here with you.
Now, in your role, do you do this often? Are you with radio stations, TV stations?
You know, Mike, I do not. I don't do this often. I sit in my office and I raise money. So no, this is nice to get out of the office.
You know, it is so important to have somebody in an organization like what Choices is. It's just amazing, I might add. You're doing a very good job because of the fact that not only are they making budget and meeting budget, and I know that there's been a recent matching fund campaign that was completely matched out.
That's right.
And that doesn't always happen with organizations either.
Yeah.
So you're doing a good job, as are everybody else that I can tell over there. But the other amazing thing about Choices, in the expansion into the UCF area with a second clinic last year, opened that building up debt-free.
That's
got to be amazing.
It is incredible what we have been witness to that the Lord is doing. And I will reiterate this. Vicki does as well, our leader. It is not what we are doing. It is what the Lord is doing.
Well, I love the fact that you and Vicki and everybody else that I know of over there really do deflect those kinds of accolades to the Lord, and that's wonderful. I am just grateful to have in Central Florida such an organization, one that represents not only the Lord, but just represents the community and the way that you guys do and offering what you offer. So many lives have been changed, and it's done with not only love, but this is the other side that I think a lot of organizations really can look at and use you guys as a model. It's done with excellence as well. I mean, everything from the way you upkeep the building that you're in, all of your promotional materials, everything that Choices puts out, it looks really great.
It does. And, you know, we believe that God deserves our very best. So every day we come to work, whether that be patient services, whether that be fundraising, we want to do it all to the glory of God. So if we're not giving him our very best, there's room for improvement.
That's well said. Well, tell us a little bit about you. I know that you're not from this area originally, right?
Right. No. So I was born in Pennsylvania. My dad was a pastor, landed mostly in Virginia. So that's where I was raised. So if you hear that in my voice, it's Virginia. It's Southwest Virginia from the mountains.
Well, that's great. And that's a lot different than around here.
It is different. Yes. Southwest rural Virginia is a lot different than Central Florida, for sure.
In so many geographical ways, as well as just life up there. My brother-in-law lived in West Virginia for a number of years around the big the college town up there.
Oh, yeah.
And so it was really beautiful to get to go there. I'd never been there before.
It is beautiful.
That's really
so
neat.
I'm actually from Blacksburg, Virginia, which is also a big college town. Virginia mm-hmm. Tech is there. So mm-hmm. college towns in the mountains, that's same
so
area.
So you're a PK?
I am, yes. My dad was a pastor. And like I said, he was in Pennsylvania when I was born. We did live in Virginia. My father was diagnosed with cancer when I was about 8, and he passed away when I was 10. So
oh, I'm so sorry to hear that.
So that's how we landed in Virginia. That's where my mother's family was from. So, you know, we had support. We had a lot of love there. So yeah, that was wonderful.
Well, tell us about how it was that all of that impacted you and your walk with the Lord. Were you already at that point believing in God yourself?
So at that point, I had already accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm so thankful that I did as a child. I was able to have my dad baptize me. That's so special,
yeah.
You know, not having him. My mother was an incredible pastor's wife. She recently, last year, lost her battle to cancer, too. So, But I'll tell you what, watching my mother deal with the loss of her husband, she was 38 when my dad died. Watching her live and serve God and hold close to God through that taught me everything that I needed to know to then 30 years later, turn around and go through that same journey with her. So
what type of cancer was it?
So my dad had colon cancer and my mother had ovarian cancer.
Yeah, these are tough ones right there.
Right.
And so I really do. My heart goes out. My family dealt with cancer as well. Ultimately was what killed my father. It took him out, but he lived a good long life of 89 years prior to that. To be taken out as early as what your dad was is heartbreaking.
Right.
And I know the impact on your mom was just so deep. But to see the faith of people who have a loved one that's not only going through it, but ultimately it is the cause for their death. To see them go through that and to walk in an admirable, faith-filled way, that really does something to us, those that see it, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's transformative. I think it's so easy for the world to look on us as believers when things go well and we praise the Lord and we say God is good. But, you know, when things go really bad, and when the answers are no, God is still good. And
He's
that is
good.
That is a fellowship that we have as believers, you know, in that fellowship of suffering. But we are joining that fellowship with Jesus Christ himself.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you lose a parent at a young age, at age of 10, that really obviously, like you said, it's impacting on your life. And it does put you in with a group of other people. Not everybody's part of that. A lot of your friends would have grown up with still having both of their parents. What were the biggest things that you look back and you remember from that season of watching him go to be with the Lord?
Sure. Well, there were so many things that I was without, you know, having lost him at the age of 10. But at the same time, I can look back and see that while my earthly father wasn't here, God really stepped into those places, you know, so we have an earthly father and some people don't know him as father, but I know him as father.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know him as healer. He healed my dad and he healed my mom. Did he heal him the way that I wanted him to? No, that healing looked differently. But, you know, I think back to my wedding day. I think about when my children were born. I have two beautiful girls. You know, I would have loved to have shared that with him.
Yeah.
You know? But God is those things.
Yeah. And we have to look back and trust the Lord with things that we can't change. You couldn't change it. He couldn't change it.
Right.
But God knows, and there's a plan, and obviously it has worked out for you. Was your walk something that you knew early on you would be actually married to a pastor? Because that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, I definitely was not anticipating that. I went to college with my best friend at the time, and he was pursuing ministry, but we were just friends. And then we were more than friends.
You were friends until you were married. That's right. And then you're great friends. That's wonderful.
Right.
What school was that?
So we went to Warner University. It's just down the road a little bit in a little tiny town called Lake Wales, Florida.
Yeah, not very far away at all. I've heard about it. I don't think I've ever been there, but that's really great. And so here you are now in the ministry again, first as a child, now as a wife, and you get to be a minister's wife yourself.
Right. Yeah, it is. It's unique. You know, I had an amazing mom to model that for me.
Mm-hmm.
I love being married to a pastor. I love lifting him up. I love serving with him. I love being a helpmate. So those are wonderful, exciting things that you get to do in the ministry, but also serving at Choices Women's Clinic. in ministry as well.
Yeah, that's right. You're surrounded in ministry type of items. But I do have to ask this question. Growing up in a minister's home and then becoming a minister's wife, a lot has changed, obviously, in you. You've matured, you've grown. What do you see has happened in the church to compare those two seasons? From when you were a child and seeing the church, what things come to your mind as really this is different in this day and age than it was back then?
Well, you know, not just in being a pastor's kid to being a pastor's wife, but our culture has changed so much. I remember what Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings looked like when I was a child, you know, and here we are just on a precipice of just living in a different world. So ministry, it looks completely different now.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, one thing that a lot of people point to as one of the big changes has been the advent of technology with social media. That really is a game changer for today's youth compared to what you went through when you were 10.
Absolutely. Yeah. It wasn't a thing. No, I remember that. That makes me feel so old.
Well, we thought our television with three different channels on it was the latest, greatest of everything, right? I mean, that would have been, I can remember when the first TV was brought in, for crying out loud. And so, I can remember life even prior to that. So that's...
Now you're dating yourself.
Now I am really dating myself, right?
It is different though. But, you know, there are tools. There were tools that my parents used to minister when I was a child. They might look different than now, but, you know, there is no new thing under the sun. So they just look different. Mm-hmm. And those same things that this world will use to lure people away, God will use to draw them close to him too.
What's one of the most precious things that you remember about being in a family that was a ministry family? What do you look back and think, yeah, that was really super special?
You know, I mean, I will tell you, this is really funny, and I joke with my children about this. You know, after communion, we got to clean that up. So that was great. We always got to have the extra communion.
Oh, my goodness.
only pastor's kids know what I'm talking about. But I'll tell you, living your life in a way that is continually sacrificing, I didn't realize how special that was to continually be laying down your life for other people. But man, I'm so grateful for it now.
Hmm. That's really something to look back at as being a treasure, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Oh, goodness. I'm talking today with Kelly McMurray. She is the development manager at Choices, and Choices Women's Clinic is in two different locations, West Orlando and then out by UCF. And we'll be talking more about the particulars of Choices coming up in our next segment. But how did you find this? Was this an interest that you had prior to working for them? You know, did you volunteer or something like that?
Well, actually, it is an incredible God thing that happened. So I, at the age of 8, I started praying for women's clinics. We passed a women's clinic in my hometown, Blacksburg, Virginia, visiting my grandparents, and it was a crisis pregnancy center.
Uh-huh.
And I said to my mom, "What is that?" And she said, "Oh, we pray for them. They help babies." And that changed my life because I thought, we pray for this pregnancy center because they help babies. Growing up, I heard a testimony from Gianna Jessen. I don't know if you know her.
Mm-mm.
She was aborted and she survived. She has an incredible testimony. When I heard her testimony as a teenager, I thought abortion was something that wasn't happening in my lifetime. I thought it was similar to a world war or a Holocaust.
Yeah.
So to hear this woman, Gianna Jessen, saying that she herself had been aborted and survived and giving her testimony, it broke my heart, you know, and God breaks our heart for what breaks his. And I've been praying for crisis pregnancy centers, for pregnancy centers, ever since I was a child.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was in Virginia, I worked as a development director for a pregnancy center there in Blacksburg, Valley Women's Clinic. My husband brought us down to Florida. He decided to change careers. He pursued some other things. So here we are in Central Florida. I didn't have a job. So we just came down here. My husband had a job, so we came. I met with Vicky and I said, you know, I've done this in the past. I would love to volunteer. I'm sure that you don't need anybody to do this particular job. I didn't know who Vicky was at the time. And Vicky said to me, you know what? I've been looking for somebody to do this job for over a year and I haven't found anybody. And she said, I have training materials that I have written myself on how to do this job. And I said, well, what are the training materials? And she mentioned her Life Steward Ministries. And I said, that's how I learned how to do this job. I trained at
under
my
her
pregnancy
stuff.
Center in Virginia using Vicky Matthews materials.
Oh my goodness. What a coincidence.
Yes, it was.
And you didn't realize it.
Absolutely just ordained by God.
Oh my word. That is really amazing. I didn't even know Vicky had written all of that prior to coming, but I know she is thought of highly in the community and would be one of the most well-connected people and just obviously called on by God in an amazing way to lead this ministry the way she's done.
Absolutely. Vicky not only, you know, serves here as our executive director, but she helps centers all across the country to develop, to do what they do and to do it more effectively. So she's mm-hmm. really a pioneer in it.
She really is. And I know that many people across the country are praying right now, like never before, about this whole topic because of the things that are going on right now with the Supreme Court, with Dodd in Mississippi, and the opportunities at least would look like they're there for this to be a game-changing year in this whole area. And we know that if that were to happen, if the best case scenario were to happen, that doesn't mean that these problems are going to go away that you guys deal with. It would definitely change the way you deal with them, but people are still going to be people and there will be needs to pray for babies that will go on no matter what happens.
Absolutely. You know, we're looking at that, but we're not the only people that are looking at that court case. You know, the pro-abortion industry is pushing back in ways like we've never seen before, mm-hmm. you know, to make abortion more accessible. You know, they're doing these telehealth, you know, you no longer have to see a doctor in order to get that. You can just go on the internet and you can obtain those pills.
And pills that come through the mail.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, it will not get rid of abortion. It will just make abortion more accessible for those who are looking for it. Mm-hmm. So what we have to do is we have to also be prepared for that. Mm-hmm. You know, we look forward to that. We would love for those rulings to be in our favor. And you know, we are praying and hoping for that. But again, we have to be ready for what that means.
Kelly McMurray, my guest today. We'll be back with Kelly in a moment. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike. You're on The Shepherd. It is a real honor to have Kelly McMurray with me today. Kelly is the development manager for Choices Women's Clinic, and she is based in the West Orlando campus. There are now two of them. Choices opened up their big new clinic over by UCF. It's really convenient for the students out at UCF. And UCF has gotten to be one of the largest colleges in the country right now, maybe number one. I mean, it's great. It's amazing.
It is great. And, you know, you think about 19 to 24 year old women, and that is the largest demographic seeking abortion. So, you know, for years we have known that we have to go because you have to be where abortion is taking place.
Now, your role at Choices, you're not a doctor, you're not a clinician, but you are there to help really make it all happen from a standpoint of funding. And that happens through a number of events that happen in the calendar year. And one of them is coming up on the 8th of February called Latte for Life. Now, that name gives away at least a little bit about what we're talking about, the latte. So this is some sort of a coffee get together.
It is. So this is right before Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. It is for all ladies. Sorry, gentlemen. This is not mm-hmm. for your Valentine. This is for your Galentine. So this is a ladies' event. Yes, coffee and dessert from some of Orlando's finest restaurants. And this is just a wonderful opportunity for us to come together as women. we worship, we praise the Lord, we pray together. Mm-hmm. We hear testimony from some of the volunteers from Choices Women's Clinic. We hear a testimony of a patient that came to Choices Women's Clinic, and you'll see her there. She'll be at the event with her child.
Wow. So to have that kind of direct testimony is really amazing.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, it's an incredible opportunity.
How can people go to this?
Yeah, so you can visit us online, choicesfriends.com. You can click on our events tab and choose Latte for Life, and you can find more information there. You can see pictures from our event. You can even register to attend there.
Mm-hmm. So talk about now this whole general thing. We'll come back, give more information on that later on in this segment. But from a general standpoint, how does a company that deals with what you're dealing with, giving away services really free? I mean, you don't charge people. If a woman is coming and oftentimes we've heard this, that your name is really a wonderful name for people who might think they're coming to you to receive an abortion. And then they get there and they find out, well, this is a different choice than what they may have been considering. So you don't charge them. It's not something that they pay for.
Right.
And so we know that nothing in life, there's no free lunches, and there certainly are no free medical services.
That's right.
They all have to be paid for. And all of the equipment, that wonderfully state-of-art technology that you use, it had to be paid for somehow.
Absolutely. So we are supported by you, by friends of Choices Women's Clinic, by individuals, donors that are in this area, people that are life-minded, that believe in this ministry. That's who supports this ministry. It's people just like you and me that believe in life, mm-hmm. and believe that not only do we have to say that we're pro-life, not only do we have to vote like we're pro-life, but we have to do something with our money. You know, we have to do something to actually make a difference in the landscape of abortion in our country.
You know, I'm going to have an opportunity to hear in a couple of weeks Abby Johnson directly, who will be at an event that I will be going as well. And what her experience was, it was all documented in the movie Unplanned, where she actually was a proponent, worked for Planned Parenthood, and kind of bought into that whole thing. Until she was then directly exposed to the inside workings of that clinic and found out that it was not all that she ever dreamed it could be, and saw things that she couldn't unsee. I am sure that your people that work with you there at the clinic, they've probably heard a lot of horror stories, haven't they?
Oh, of course. Absolutely.
So when you think about this, what is it that kind of maybe keeps you going every day when you look at the discouraging state of the world and find these people that are there, they come in the doors, they might be looking for an abortion. How do you deal with that when you're there, not as a doctor yourself, but as one who is helping make all this happen?
Well, I'll tell you, the very thing that keeps us going is the stories. Not a day goes by that we don't see the transformative power of what happens in that room when Jesus Christ is present. That ultrasound room, you know, is holy ground, and God shows up. Mm-hmm. It's not anything that sonographer does. You know, you turn on that screen, and I know I've had children. I've had an ultrasound. My kids just kind of laid there like little jelly beans. It wasn't really anything spectacular. You go into that room, and little hands are waving back at you. You can see a completely formed body, and those women didn't know that it was like that, you know, so God really shows up in that room.
What was your first remembrance of when you were a backup? I think it would have been in West Virginia there too, when you were working for an organization like this and you'd been praying for all of these times. What was your remembrance of how to process this thing called abortion that's going on in our country?
Oh, you know what? I really feel like the best way that I could process that was to understand the difference between light and dark. You know, it is of this world. They do not know because they haven't seen. And they come into that room and they see that ultrasound and they see, you know, what God is doing inside their body. And so many times they just say, I didn't know there was a heartbeater. I didn't know there were already hands and feet because of the deception that happens in our culture. You know, so what we literally see is these girls come in and they go from darkness to light.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, some still choose to have an abortion, and we will walk through that with them. We will support them. You know, we will love them through their decision-making process. We've all made decisions that we regret, and we're there for those women too. But just to see that transformation, that they come in darkness, and then so many of them, you know, it's around 80% every year of the women that come in that are determined to have an abortion, and instead they choose life. That's an incredible statistic that man could not do. Only because of Jesus Christ.
And what an amazing change that is for those 80%. And it is really hard to believe that 20% still go. But I think that's one of the unique things that I love about Choices, is the fact that if they do, like you said, some do, 20% will go ahead and they'll go through it. Yet Choices, even though they have made what you know, and we all know, those of us that have talked to people who've gone through this, it's never a good decision when they do it. And I've never met anyone that thought it was the right decision after they were one of those 20 percenters. And I'm sure that's your experience as well.
Absolutely. We see it every day. You know, they can come in to our center. They can walk through an abortion recovery process, and they can find hope. They can find healing after that. And isn't that what we all deserve? You know, because it might not have been the same decision, but we all have decisions that we need healing from. We have relationships, we have choices that we've made. So to be able to walk with somebody to say, you know, you're in this place of despair, but you can be in a place of hope. And to see that healing happen in another woman's life is truly incredible. That's really empowering women.
So for those 20% that actually still go ahead and do it, and then they find out that the door that they had open at Choices has actually not closed, but there's even a compassion that comes to them. Explain some of the things that you've seen happen or know of that have happened through Choices in the aftermath counseling that you've done.
Well, you know, there is truly a component of healing for these women. To know that they don't have to walk around in that wound, carrying that burden, that's what Jesus Christ came to this world for, so that we wouldn't have to carry our own sins. And it is very clear, the gospel message is very clear in this healing journey for post-abortive women. And that is something that we just love seeing through them, that they can lay down those burdens, they can release those to Jesus Christ. He has already paid for their sins.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that people receive that gospel message in that context immediately, or does that have to sink in?
I mean, the post-abortion recovery process, it is, you know, it's more of a one-on-one. They walk through that with a trained professional. That does take a long time, and I do believe it's a process. For some of them, they might find healing
immediately.
Immediately. Mm-hmm. But for others, I think it's a process that not even a couple months, but it's really a lifelong journey, you know?
And you know, the amazing thing about it, you guys are offering a true choice. And I just don't think the other side of this really does. It's only their choice. And I don't believe they extend the same kind of love and compassion to those that choose to save their baby that you guys do to those who choose to end the pregnancy.
Right. So we do offer options counseling. We do tell them the truth that they deserve before they make a decision that's going to impact the rest of their lives and another life, the life of that father, the life of those grandparents. Many lives are affected when a woman chooses to have an abortion. So we walk through that with them and let them see all of the angles. You know, we don't pressure anybody to make a specific decision because we honor people.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what, we're going to love them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are a judgment-free zone. We tell women that all the time, but I'm telling you, it's true. To look at women that are walking through this journey and to not judge them is truly being the hands and feet of Jesus Christ.
It really is. And you were talking about the fact that you've got at this upcoming event, you've got somebody there with their child. And that's really an exciting thing. I have on my desk already received from Choices for this new year a calendar, and it is full every month, full of stories like that. So you guys have been around for a while now, and you have a lot of success stories.
Yes. I'll tell you what, nothing will get your fire going more than to hear a story of a life transformed because they walked through the doors of Choices Women's Clinic. We have women that chose life. We have women that met Jesus in that place.
Mm-hmm.
We have families that are changed because of it. And there's nothing that I can say or do to tell anybody that, but I can tell the story of my friends that have made the decision to choose life.
Mm. That is wonderful. And I'm so grateful that we have those kind of testimonies that are coming, and you're going to be able to hear one. This event, again, is February 8th. And it is one of several events that Choices will have for 2022. This one is called Latte for Life. Give us those details again.
Right. So our Latte for Life is Tuesday, February 8th. It's going to take place at Faith Assembly of God over on Curry Ford. The event will be from 7 to 9. For more details, you can visit choicesfriends.com and click on the events tab and find the Latte for Life. And you can contact me directly from there, or you can go ahead and register.
Go ahead and give us kind of an overview of some of the other events that are planned for this new year.
Yeah, absolutely. We have in May will be our Walk for Life. That is a fun, family-friendly event. It is a walk, but it's kind of a, I don't know, a walk for non-walkers. I mean, you can make it longer if you want to, but you can do a 1 mile, you can do 2 miles, but it's just a great time to come together.
How does it work?
Yep. So we, you sign up, you have your own fundraising page, and you ask your friends and your family to sponsor you as a walker.
Like per mile or something?
Nope, just to sponsor you. Uh-huh. You're going to participate in this. Just you walk, they give you the money, and they change lives. They save lives with you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's you telling people why you are empowered, why you want to make a difference. Why do you want to save somebody's life?
Mm-hmm.
So,
and how much do you think, what would be the average of what people are able to kind of themselves raise on that day?
I would say the average would be about $200.
Wow.
But I will also say, you know, we have hundreds of walkers that will raise $200. They will raise enough to get a t-shirt, $100. We have some incentives just to make it really fun. But we also have some incredible walkers that will raise $20,000.
Just by themselves.
Right. But I'll tell you what.
That's wonderful.
Raising $100. Think about the difference that that makes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we offer ultrasounds, we offer pregnancy testings, STI testing, options counseling, and all of that is free. So in that moment of crisis, that woman doesn't also have to get out her wallet and figure out how she's going to pay for this.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we do it for free.
And you also have other events coming up past the walk as well.
Right. In the fall, we have our benefit dinner. That one's a little bit different. It's more of a formal gathering.
Mm-hmm.
We have a meal together and a speaker. And that is just a wonderful time to come together and celebrate what God has done over the last year.
And I think your speaker at the last one was Kevin Sorbo.
It was. It was so fun. Did you get to be at that event?
Unfortunately, I was coming in from out of town and I was invited and wanted to be there. And couldn't believe it, but I had to miss it.
It was incredible. Kevin was truly a genuine, a believer, just a brother in the faith. And we are so thankful that we got to have him. I don't know if I'm supposed to tell you, but this year we're excited that we're going to have Nicole C. Mullen as our speaker.
Oh, no, I had not yet heard that.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm supposed to tell you that.
Well, you heard it here, friends, first, and that's going to be a real fun one as well.
Absolutely. She has an incredible testimony. She has a new book out with that testimony in it. Her ministry speaks for itself. She has been, doing ministry for a long time. It just is incredible.
Amazing singer.
Absolutely.
So she'll be singing, I hope, huh?
She will.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that'd be great. And that time frame for that one is?
That one is in October.
October. Mm-hmm. And that's wonderful. And, you know, so all of these things, these are options. You do have a website again, which is Choices Friends, right?
That's it, choicesfriends.com.
And people can go find the right way to support this amazing ministry. And you can do that by taking part in the Latte for Life directly or the Walk for Life, or plan on being there to see Nicole in October. Those are all options. My guest today is Kelly McMurray. We'll be back with her for one more segment. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike. It is so great to spend some time with Kelly McMurray, who is the development manager at Choices Women's Clinic in Orlando. Your office is out of the West Orlando campus. We talked briefly in segment one about the new clinic and the offices that are there. It's beautiful. And we had that big grand opening that already took place. Goodness, it's months ago now, right?
Yes, we opened in over the summer in June of 2021. And we opened that facility by God's miraculous power. We opened debt-free. That building is completely paid for.
And I know that part of what is so exciting about that particular outreach in that particular part of the city of Orlando is the fact that you have a partner that is actually housed inside the building that's from Advent, the health big health organization here in Central Florida. And they're doing a work as well. That adds extra credence, extra attraction, I would think, to all of the people who would come out and be a part.
Absolutely. So Advent Health is right now under construction with a piece that is connected to the women's clinic, and they are going to have a gynecologist office from there. So if women need that as a resource, if they do not have an office that they're already established with, then we can also direct them to our friends at Advent Health.
Hmm. Speak to this, if you will, just for a moment, maybe the shock and surprise of how a woman who comes in thinking she's coming there for an abortion, and then she hears the story from your people at Choices. What are some of the expressions? What are some of the, let's say, reactions to some of those people that you've heard about?
Sure. I'll tell you what, you have all any type of reaction that you could ever fathom. And you might think, because you yourself have never been in that position, or I myself have never been in that position, that it's different. But you and I do know, because we've been in shock moments in our life. We've been where everything seems to be going wrong, where things seem to be coming unraveled. You know, it might not look like an unplanned pregnancy to you, but there have been numerous unplanned moments in all of our lives.
Mm-hmm, that's well said.
So those things that come at you during a storm, those are the same things that are coming at these girls.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the same feelings that they're struggling with.
And what do you see? What's happened to some of them? Are they just like shocked that people care?
Oh, you know what? We do have the most incredible advocates, I'll tell you that. But it's the power of Jesus Christ in those women to be able to know what to say. I'll tell you one story of our nurse manager, Linda. She told this couple, I know that you're nervous. My husband was nervous too when he first saw our child on an ultrasound. And she didn't have any idea. And Linda said, I've never mentioned my husband before, but I just felt the Holy Spirit leading me to do that in that moment. Hmm. And that couple left and they went out to their car and they're crying and they're laughing and they're feeling all the whole range of emotions. And for that dad, he said, it's what she said about her husband. That was the turning point for me.
Wow. We just never know. We never know what it is that we're going to say, or like you said, guided by the Lord, maybe inspired in our own heart through the Holy Spirit, how that is going to have such a life-changing impact on those people.
Right. So it could be something that an advocate says when they're walking through their thought process with them. You know, I think when people are overwhelmed, when they're going through a storm, it's very helpful to have somebody come alongside you and just help slow down that process.
Mm.
You know, because it literally feels like you're being pulled by, it's like a tornado or, you know, the force of hurricane winds. That's what it feels like coming against you.
Mm.
And if somebody can stop and help you think twice, help you think through the process and realize you don't have to make the decision today,
mm-hmm.
in this hour, you have a little bit of time. So think through what that decision will look like, because choosing adoption, choosing to be a parent, choosing abortion, they're all choices and they're all hard choices. No matter what you choose, they're all hard.
Mm-hmm.
but also explaining to them that they can do hard things. I've done hard things. You've done hard things. You know, so we're a lot more like every single one of those patients than we would think.
Do you think that a lot of people who have only received counsel, let's say the kind of counsel that an abortion clinic or a Planned Parenthood, I think it's fair to say that, would be giving to them, that they're not going to have any ramifications from following through with that abortion? Do you think they think that it's going to be okay afterwards? Do they have any idea that the pain and the years of regret that follow? I don't believe they think that, do they?
I just don't think that you can see that when you're in the middle of that storm. Mm-hmm. I just don't think you're thinking of the future. I think you're thinking of, I remember one sweet patient that came in and just didn't want to tell her parents because her dad was serving in ministry. And I know if I were in that position, I've felt shame before. Mm-hmm. And I've known that I've done things that I didn't want to tell my parents before too. So I can resonate with that woman, you know? So I really do. I think it's a different message. And we have heard, even, you know, you mentioned Abby Johnson, and she does such an incredible work with those who are leaving that line of business, that want to leave, that want to be rescued out of that line of work, out of Planned Parenthood and out of abortion work. And they will tell you, you know, I can't tell you, it's not my testimony, it's not my story, but the women who have left work at an abortion clinic can tell you, they don't give them options. They're just selling them an abortion. Mm-hmm. That's what they're doing. So they don't tell them the options, you know, and I'll tell you, when we've gone through struggles ourselves, when somebody says, I see that you're hurting, but I know that you can do this, that's transformative. You know, just to be able to come alongside somebody in their time of need and encourage them and lift them up. We all need that.
We do. We all need it. And it is available and it's being done. This is the beautiful thing. It's being done around the clock, around the really, truly around the calendar year at these wonderful Choices Women's Clinics where they really do care. And I know one thing that you guys take part in. There is, in addition to the medical services, in addition to the counseling, there is a good amount of prayer that is going up, both by the staff as well as other volunteers. Explain that.
Absolutely. We have a group of friends who have been praying for this ministry since its conception in 1983, I believe, have been praying that long, have been meeting weekly to pray. But, you know, it's 2022 and not everybody is available to come and do that. So this year we have started a new way to pray, and that is text to pray. So if that's something that you are interested in doing, if you enjoy intercessory prayer and you really feel called to do that, you can reach out to us and you can get prayer requests for our patients texted directly to you so that you can pray for those women in their time of need.
They need it, and not only the women, but also just the courage and the sustaining power of the Lord for the workers that go on. Because, I mean, they work literally long hours at Choices, and they do it, and sometimes it can be not altogether rewarding when they've worked as hard, like you said, with 20% of your clients end up going the other direction. That's got to be difficult on your workers.
Absolutely. You know, we are carrying the burdens of those women too. And we do have the ability to give those to God in prayer, you know, but it does get heavy. There are days where we see things play out and it just, you know, that those nurses wish that they would have said something different or done something different. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, every single appointment that they go into, they just pray to be used by God. Mm-hmm. And we don't know what seeds God is planting today that he may be watering. And 5 years from now, it could be something that was said in that appointment. We just don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, all we can do is be obedient to Christ. And we plant the seeds that he, you know, he gives us to plant. He waters those seeds. They're, you know, they are his. They are not ours. And it's not us that saves lives. It's Jesus Christ.
You know, the last administration, presidential administration under President Trump, and I know there's a lot of people who have strong feelings one way or the other about him. But one of the things that he did that had never been done before was he was and turned out to be quite an advocate for the pro-life movement. And I know that, again, that came maybe as a surprise to a lot of people who thought they knew him. And yet the current administration has turned out from day one to be as polar opposite as possible to that, to the point that this whole agenda to keep abortion legal and in the name of women's health, that's what's so amazing to me, is that they are doing that, and they're doing it without any shame, apparently, in their on their face or in their words, because it is not the truth, what they're saying. It's not for women's health. It's this idea of power and freedom and without any honesty as to what is really going to be paid in the heart and soul of that woman who goes through an abortion.
Right. And you know what? It's so interesting that our hearts are the same. We want to empower women. We want to help women. It's just the way that they're doing it. You know, it is completely different. To say that you empower women means that you're going to give her choices, that you're going to let her know what all of her choices are. And that's what we believe. We do believe that she has the right to know all of those choices.
And that is different. Even though the others would identify themselves as pro-choice, they're really not.
Right. And, you know, I think it's so interesting how spiritual warfare comes into play with all that. You know, our feelings, they deceive. Our words can deceive. You know, we've all been guilty of that. But that's why it says in the Word of God, do not lean on your own understanding.
Mm-hmm. You know, the big things that's happened already in the last year with the ruling in Texas, for example, of the heartbeat law that went into impact there. The Supreme Court heard oral arguments and is now in a point, probably will, by summertime, we'll have a decision from them as to what's going to happen in the Dodd case. And then there are other states that are looking at doing similar things to what Texas has done. In spite of what we just talked about, the atmosphere, the words that's come out of the administration, this is still a pretty encouraging time for those that are in the pro-life movement.
It is. It's exciting. And it's something that people have been praying for many, many years. You know, It's not the culmination of this year's work. It's not even the culmination of the Trump administration. You know, you think about, we are appointed for such a time as this. And you think about what happened with that Supreme Court, and we just don't know. You know, that could have been a holy appointment.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really just incredible to such an exciting time to be alive, to be a prayer warrior.
And pray. We hope that all of our listeners do. Again, you can send those prayer requests. One thing you can do is check out their Facebook page. They do have a really robust page on Facebook, and just go to facebook.com/choicesfriends. That's all you need to do. Make Choices Friends one word without any punctuation, and you'll find their Facebook page. You can connect with a direct message there. You can also go to their website, send them an email, find out information, how you can join the prayer efforts for Choices. And then again, one more time for this big event coming up on February 8th, Latte for Life. Give us those details one more time.
Yes, again, I'd love to. So our Latte for Life is going to be Tuesday, February 8th from 7 to 9 p.m. It's a ladies-only Galentine's event. Chocolates and coffee, and we're going to hear an incredible testimony from one of our friends that chose life, and it is a testimony that you do not want to miss.
All right. Kelly McMurray, thank you for being with us here today, and thank you for the hard work that you do year-round to make all of this happen and help keep all of the funding in place. Friends, if you'd like to give to this great organization, you can also use those other methods that we've just mentioned to contact them, and I know they would appreciate your support. Thank you so much, Kelly, for being with us. Say hello to Vicky, okay?
I sure will. And thank you so much for having me. It was just really a pleasure.
Great to have you here. And friends, we'll see you next time right here on Afternoons with Mike.